Cast me not?
Right?
Is this mine here? You're in Boston, right?
Cast me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not cast me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not cast me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find the sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not cast me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside me? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let's do the shirts. There we go. Father, just put my words in them.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking upon, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord for the wonderful study. Greetings, church. Blessings to you. I pray we're all doing very well this Sabbath day. Please join me for opening prayer. If you can get on your knees at this time, bow your head and bow your hearts, please. Heavenly Father, Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day and these sacred hours in which we come together humbly to take part in your word. We thank you for these blessings, Father. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather in this very special way where we can have fellowship and we can worship you in the body of Christ as believers in the truth, in one mind, and yes, in one body. Father, as we go into your word, open our hearts, open our minds, that we should always have a clear understanding of thy word. May all preconceived notions be continued to be washed away as we stand upon the truth of Christ. Father, as we look into these hours of the cross, Father, we ask that you may bless us, that we may have understanding of how you see sin to be so repugnant to heaven, to you, to the Godhead. May we all have this understanding that your law is so perfect that your son had to die, and not one letter of the law could have ever changed. Father, we just thank you for the gathering. We thank you for these hours. We thank you for sending thy Spirit, that thy Spirit may teach us and may humble us as we take part in your word. We lift up this ministry and all who take part in doing the very work in which you have given. We love you, we praise you, and we shall glorify you this day and each and every day in all that we do. And we ask for this in Jesus' most precious, most wonderful name. Amen. Okay, amen. All right, I see the notes are in the room. All right, so the topic for today is Why Hast Thou Forsaken Me? And this title and this question is actually based on Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. So for those of you who are going to be following your Bibles, you know, I will be reading off the scriptures. Yeah, I see the date is from a... is older there. I'm not sure why that's there, but nevertheless. All right, in this sermon, I would like to present to you a sample of an event that took place at the cross of Calvary. Now, there are few scriptures where Jesus cried out to his Father during the agonizing scene on the cross in which some may think, that the Father may have forsaken him. If one may believe that the Father forsook his Son, then maybe one can believe that he may forsake us too. But we know this is not true. And we're going to prove this today. So let's read the account of the scene in which Jesus cried out to his Father from Matthew chapter 27 as we examine why did Jesus say this? All right, so let's go to the first verse. Okay, we'll start with number one in the room. It's going to be taken from, again, from Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, where it says, And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is that very famous verse. In Jesus' loud cry to his Father, was Jesus forsaken by his Father? Again, I say to you, this is not true. First off, let us come to an understanding of what sin is in order to understand why Jesus said this. So, let us go to the Word. And our famous verse for today, I think we've read this, what, two times already. And number two, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. So sin is to transgress the very law of God, to break it. Okay? It also says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that for the wages of sin is death. Okay? For the wages of sin is death. In other words, when we break his law, we deserve death. Well, the next thing we want to understand is, what is the condition of all humanity? Every last one of us. Going to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by what? By sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we all deserve death because Romans 5:12 has revealed to us that we all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 tells us the penalty of sinning, practicing sin, is what? Is death. So the next question is, what separates you from God? What separates you from God? Being God is holy. And remember, we were made in the image of God. I'm going to share with you a verse before we answer that. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face. It is what? Hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And that's from the Old Testament. Okay, and this is referring to the nation of Israel. So what is our answer? What separates you from God? The answer is sin. Sin separates you from God. Sin is the separating act and barrier which prevents you to be with God. God's original plan was to be with us forever and have communion with us. But because of sin, there became a giant gulf which needed a bridge between God in heaven and us sinners upon this fallen earth. That cross of Christ gave us now a bridge to God if we're willing to pick up our cross and cross over and meet our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to start seeing why Jesus said this here. And I think we're going to start getting a little feel of it. Now let's return back to the account in Matthew in chapter 27. Okay, we're at number 6 in the room. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, where it said, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As we know, Jesus is bearing all the sins of the world upon his bruised body. And Romans 5:8 says, but God condemneth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. kind of love is that? He died for us, for our sins, the sins before we even were born. So just think, the next time you're about to say something that you know is wrong, or do something that is wrong, or act in a way that is wrong, just know that your sins, what you're just about to do, has put one more slash, one more poke in that heart, one more grieve of pain in our dear Savior. It's your sins that He has died for. Now, when did all this suffering begin? In Gethsemane, the Father's hand and protection was lifted from upon His Son, and the separation began to wring our Savior's heart. Here's where the suffering began. Matthew chapter 26, verse 45, where it says, "Then cometh He to His disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. At this hour our Father lifteth His hand of protection from His dear Son, and His Son began to be scourged by the hands of sinners." Jesus was now snared in the heart of the earth. And this is that analogy of Jonah in the belly of the whale. So this is when it began. Now moving forward to the cross of Calvary, and in the closing hours upon which Jesus was hanging on the cross, you will see that this is when Jesus began to feel the total separation from His Father, as He, Jesus, took upon our sins for us, though He who knew no sin became sin for us. Okay? Now please note that Jesus was not a sinner, but just became sin for the human race. Became that lamb, okay, for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in Him." All right, that's number 8 in the room. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." So when we look at those two verses, we see Jesus becoming sin for us. And yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. In those last hours, Jesus was encompassed by many mockers and the powers of the unseen fallen angels. Jesus at this point cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As He bore our sins and felt the total separation from His Father, because we know it is sin that separates you from God. It's sin that separates you from His face. Jesus was always in closeness with His Father, as He and His Father are one, one in unity. But now that final separation, this was His very last agony. This is what caused Him to cry out. That final wound would be of a broken heart and cause His cry, as He no longer could see the face of His Father. The anguish of the separation from His Father pierced our dear Savior's heart. sin separates you from God. And Jesus felt what eternal separation is in those closing hours. Church, I tell you, it's a glimpse of what will happen to all those in that dreadful day when our Lord lifts his spirit from this darkened world and the unrighteous fate will be sealed. They will experience a total separation from God. His spirit will no longer draw unto men. Thankfully, there will be a loud cry before it is finished upon the closing scenes of this earth. Prior to the loud cry, the scripture says, before Jesus cries out, the scripture says that the earth had a scene of such an appearance of darkness. At Luke chapter 23, verse 44, it says this, number 10. Looks like I had a little typo here going in the room. But number 10 it says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. All right, so I just want to take note of that. Keep in mind this total darkness that was upon the earth. As we will get back to this verse and examine it a little bit later. Okay? From this point now, at this point in the sermon, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. Okay? And share with you a story of a young woman. The story goes like this. Early in the morning, there was a young woman, a young lady, who was given some bad news about the state of her life. The news was not good, as her body was deteriorating due to her heart condition. She was told that unless she gets a heart transplant, any new heart, she would surely die. The abuse she has put her body through in the very early stages in life was not reversible, and death would be her ending course. Unfortunately, she had no money and could never afford such an operation. Her time is running short, and there are no matches. As time passes and the news is spread to her family that the imminent is to take place very soon, they prepare for the worst. In an upper room where her father and big brother are residing, they take counsel on this matter without her knowledge. More time has passed, and suddenly a messenger arrives on the scene, sent from her father, and has come to let her know the good news of a soon arrival of a perfect donor that will save her. And the donor would be on time for her, so she would not perish. But she says, I have no money to pay for it. The messenger told her, not to worry. I'm here to prepare you for the coming donor's heart. And he also explains to her that she must understand that she must consent to take care of this new heart first in order for the transplant to take place. And then the rest will be explained to her later. By the way, this young woman's name is Israel. So Israel consented. As Israel is somewhat of a religious young woman due to her parents' background, though she wasn't the most obedient girl, she was thankful that there would be hope for her after all, and God has not left her without hearing her prayers. With no time to delay, she was whisked away as she was sinking deeper into a perishing state. And if this transplant did not take place, there would be no hope for her. As the grieving hours went by, her family waited as the transplant was taking place. It's a tough thing to see your loved ones go through what must be done. Finally, the good news had arrived. Victory, successful operation. Mission accomplished. The whole host of her family was in great joy to hear and see of this wonderful news. Now, as she eventually awakes and is told of the good news, and healing is settling in, she is overwhelmed and desires to thank the person who gave her this new life and a new heart. As she is young and ignorant to what takes place in a transplant, she has no idea that you can't physically thank the person in person who just spilled his blood to give you a new heart. At this point, she's handed the words of a written letter from the donor. It said the following: Dear Israel, it's me, your big brother. I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And though it may be tough for you to understand the magnitude of what transpired, I did this for you. I am the one who gave you my heart. I was examined and recorded to be perfectly clean and sufficient for you. There was no other option for you, or else you would die and be lost forever. So I decided, as I counseled with Father, to give you my clean heart so that you may live. Don't worry, it's all paid in full. Dad took care of it. At this point, she is lost for words. Her big brother, who was always out in the field doing for others and never thinking about himself, just spilled his blood for her so that she may have the opportunity to live. He was truly to her the example of perfection. His example she was never able to live up to. She thinks, how could I ever repay you for what you have done? Then she continues to read the words he left, and it said, but just know this, you now have my heart, and what you do to it now repays me. My heart was perfect, and it was clean because of my lifestyle. And this is the character that you and everyone saw, so please remember to do the example I left for you. Do as I did. I leave my words behind for you today in this letter so that you may remember why I did this and that you will be prepared. At this point, being overwhelmed by so much, she is in need of comfort. She desires to see him again, and she sees the ultimate price was paid. The ultimate price was her brother's life, so that she may have another opportunity to have life. Then she reads some comforting words in the letter, as it continues to say, though you may desire to see me physically, remember, I now live in you. My blood was spilled so that my heart would live in you. I am alive in you every day you awake. I am with you every day in your heart as you walk in my ways. So you see, I am alive in you. You can see me again, he says, but you must have faith and believe in my words, which I have written to you. And I promise, if you will treat your body right, where my heart now lives, stay obedient to our Father, and obey him, you will see me again. Tell all your friends and do as I have said. Please be an example for them as I was for you. Don't let my gift to you be in vain. Now this young girl begins to see the light of what he wrote, and a transformation within begins. She is no longer comfortless, but feels a power of comfort, and is now inspired to do as he has shown her. A certain unseen power has taken over her life, and though she can't see it, its effects are changing her desires as she is becoming a new person, and her old ways are no longer her new desires. She is now being led by a new heart and a desire to see her big brother once again. Time begins to pass, and many of her old friends have wondered why she has changed so much. And her reply to them always is that she now has a clean heart, and she now does not want to defile it, knowing the sacrifice her big brother gave for her. Israel now walks in comfort. She is comforted. But let us not forget her big brother during the time of spilling his blood for Israel. Was he left alone? Was he forsaken while giving his life for another? Where was his father? His father saw it all and allowed what had to be done to take its course. You see, the father was hidden from sight and unseen to all in the room. Before that last cut to the heart, he was there by his side. He would not have left him alone, as some may think. See, friends, see, church, what prompted me to share this sermon was when recently, in the extreme darkness, on a night, on a very late night, my 3-year-old son cried out to me while he was asleep, while we all were asleep. Now, it's natural for a father to come to the loud cry of his son, like a bolt of lightning, though it was in complete darkness, and there was no visibility. All I heard was him cry out, "Daddy, Daddy." And I was there. It was like smoke and fire was literally under me. Nothing was going to stop me from being at my son's side. And at being at his side, I was now comforted. As long as I was there, it was all going to be okay. I would never forsake my son's cry. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 23. And this is the verse I said we would go back to and examine. Now, we should be at number 11 in the room. Okay? It's Luke 23, verse 44. It says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." Why was there darkness? Why was darkness over all the earth? It says, from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the entire earth. But why? You got to remember. Remember, God the Father is consumed by unapproachable light. We cannot be in his presence, nor see his face and live. We will be consumed by his glory. His word declares to us that God is a consuming fire. He covers himself with light. Now, below are scriptures proving this point. So we're going to go at number 12, number 13, 14, and 15. Okay, and these are some references. 1 Titus 6:16. who only have immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And also from Exodus 33:20 it says, and he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And Psalms 104:2 says, who covers thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. And our last scripture point here is from Hebrews 12:29, where it says, for God is a consuming fire. Now, I know there's a lot more verses that's out there that we could use that will prove this point. I think we all understand now what's taking place. The reason for the darkness was for the protection of the inhabitants of the earth. Amidst all the darkness, the Father came down from heaven to be with his dear Son, Jesus, in those last hours. Jesus was not forsaken. Our Father made sure we would be safe first in order to be at his Son's side. I mean, Christ is dying for us at this point. And our Heavenly Father is also thinking about us at this very point, but yet he is going to be with his Son. What a merciful and loving character from our Heavenly Father. Now let's look at some verses from the Psalms to prove this is true. Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalms 18:11 says, he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At number 18, Psalms 18, verses 7 through 10 says, and the earth shook and trembled, the fountains, the foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down. It says he came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode up. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And in Psalms chapter 22, it records this also. Verses 16 through 18. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. These passages referring to Jesus, his last hours upon hanging on the cross. When Jesus cried out to his Father, he was not left alone, nor was he forsaken. As you can see, our Father was right there. Our Father, who loves us so much, made a way to be at his Son's side and made sure we would be safe and that we would not be consumed into ashes. Unnoticed to all at the time, and at that time, the Father was there. Just as he did not forsake his Son, friends, he will not forsake any of us today who come to him, trust in him, and abide in his love. As the Son suffered, so did our Heavenly Father. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our Father knows all. The end from the beginning to the end. He desires to be with us in all eternity. As you just read, he will never forsake you if you desire to do his will. And that's that big word, if. We always see that in scripture. If you love me, if you keep my commandments. You have to desire to do his will, that you may not be forsaken. Now, he won't forsake us, and we have a thus saith the Lord in that. Let's look at some scriptures. Psalms chapter 37, verse 25, and this is number 21 in the room, where it says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalms 37:28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. Psalms 89, verse 28 says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, there's the if again, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Number 24, the last scripture we have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There we have it, church. That's a thus saith the Lord. In closing, here we see the word says our Heavenly Father would never forsake any of his. But you have to be called his. You have to desire to be a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. To think he may have forsaken his son on that cross would lead us to think he would do the same to you and I. But I praise the Lord for his word and all truth he has preserved for us from all generations to prepare us for his second coming, for his second advent. Our Father's mercy and love will be with us forever. That's what we just read, forever. If we forsake not his law and walk in his judgments. Praise the Lord. that he sends us his Spirit, that we can overcome. Praise the Lord for our dear Savior Jesus Christ for spilling his blood, and that we may see that it was our sins that caused him to separate from his Father, and this is why he cried out. The next time you're about to say something you know you shouldn't say, do something that you know you shouldn't do, examine yourself. The Bible says examine yourselves. Just knowing that what you're about to do was actually adding one more lash to our dear Savior. This is why we must repent. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross, I tell you, I pray that we understand the power of that cross. May we all thank the Lord for his word and for Christ, our righteousness. God bless you all. I pray that you have a wonderful rest of your Sabbath day. Amen.
Amen. Kevin Tindall.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I am telling, he made all my darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with light from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh what a standing is mine. And that transaction so quickly was made, when at the sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, you saved me, oh praises your name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
If you can kneel, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your truth and giving us an understanding and a changing of the showbread on Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath for us and this week so that we can come again next Sabbath to worship you on Sabbath. We thank you also, Father, for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, those that come against us,
than those that aren't doing the work that should be. And Father, please bless those that are doing the work in a major way. Thank you for giving us many more opportunities to share the faith and giving us new ideas to go forth with so that more souls can come into the fold. And thank you once again for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And Father, to the best of our ability, we pray this in the name of your dear Son and our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.